psalm tonight. Book of Psalms, chapter 64. The book of Psalms, chapter 64. I would believe it would be good for us to read this psalm in its entirety tonight. 10 verses here. Book of Psalms, chapter 64. Verse 1 says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They consume or commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of His doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in Him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank You tonight for this wonderful book of Psalms. Songs that have been sung through the ages and given to us wonderful truth. Lord, I pray tonight that You would speak to our hearts. I pray, O God, on this eve of thanks, that we might recognize Your bountifulness to us. Lord, we often look at the physical and the material, but, O God, that we might look at the spiritual bountifulness that is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. May our hearts rejoice together as we consider Your wondrous, beautiful gifts to us. We ask for Your blessing tonight. We pray that You would just do that which is needed in our hearts, whatever it might be. Oh God, glorify Yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. It was interesting to me that one of the first things that was thanksgiving for was for food. Because there are two, I believe, tremendous needs that are in every one of us. And one of those, by all means, is sustenance. You and I will not survive without eating. The other, I believe, and I put this word, security. Sustenance and security. Men must eat, and they also need protection. We need protection from the elements, and thus shelter. And we need protection from our enemies. Seldom will you find a psalm that is written that does not mention the enemies of God and the enemies of God's men. Seldom do we find that. Many times I've had people ask me different questions concerning these psalms. And some have wondered, can we legitimately call down the wrath of God upon our enemies? Well, the New Testament says we ought to love our enemies, tells us we ought to pray for them, and then let God take care of His business. Amen? And we have the right attitude toward them and go in that right direction. But we find something interesting as we look at the primary psalm writer in David. David was very acquainted with enemies. Matter of fact, we find that David, in the very beginning of our narrative concerning this man, we find that he was one who fought many enemies. We find that as a shepherd boy out on the hillside, he had come against the lion. He had come against the bear. We find that his first great inauguration into a leadership role was in the position that he held as he goes up to fight against Goliath. And there he wins that tremendous battle. He was acquainted with the enemies. He was acquainted very much with the enemies that were without, and that being the Philistines, and certainly as we saw in this man of Goliath. And there were other nations involved as well. But we find that there were also some other enemies. Enemies from within. Enemies that were, perhaps we could call our own familiar friends. And those that were close to him. We find that David, as he comes back from the battle, and as he had slain Goliath, they began to sing, the women began to sing, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul became very jealous, and from that moment on, he sought David's life and sought to kill him. We find later in David's life, his own son, though he knew better, or thought he knew better than his own father, and sought to overthrow him. And we find that he sets up his own kingdom, and of course we find also God takes care of that. Some have taken this very psalm that certainly we could apply to David in many aspects of his life, but we also have some who try to apply it to Mordecai as God took care of him against Haman. There are those who believe that it was prophetic of Daniel and that God had used David to prophesy of Daniel as he came against the enemies of the Persian lords that were within that government, and they tried to destroy him by having a decree against prayer. Many of the Psalms call for God vengeance upon enemies. But this one seems to thank and praise God for His everlasting protection. And tonight I'd like for us to stop and think about that. We have a God tonight that wants to take care of us. A God that protects us through all sorts of thick and thin. I have found the protecting hand of God in so many areas of my life, and it's just innumerable. The examples and illustrations could, I suppose, go on for a fortnight. I believe we could probably all tonight stop and consider that. But as we look here in this great and wonderful psalm, and we think about His everlasting protection, we notice some truths here and some things that He speaks of. And as we look at the first six of these 10 verses, I believe He describes to us the craftiness of the foe. Now, our great enemy tonight is none other than Satan himself. He would seek to devour us tonight. He wants to destroy us. He is, on one occasion, called Apollyon, which is destroyer, Abaddon, which is the same word. And he wants to destroy you and I. He is as the roaring lion that's seeking and stalking about, seeking whom he may destroy. That is his prerogative tonight. And we find that he is that wily one. He is that one who is crafty by all means. And so we find that we begin this tremendous psalm, and we find the prayer warrior as he begins, as he thinks about the craftiness of the foe, and he says, Hear my voice, O God. You don't need to answer this out loud tonight, but how many pray aloud? How many pray audibly as you speak to God? How many pray silently unto God? And if you do both of those things, and I suppose that most in this room tonight will say, I am one who prays both audibly and silently. Is there not times when we pray audibly, it seems to have a greater effect? I mean, that's one thing I appreciate as we pray in groups, as we pray as a church, as we get together in those corporate prayer meetings and we voice those things. And he says, Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. And here he prays now, and he's asking for protection from the very fear of the enemy. This really caught my attention. He says, Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. If there's something that I believe that is pervasive in the lives of so many people, it is fear. How many times do we find the Scripture say, Fear not? How many times do we find ourselves in situations where we are afraid of what might take place? I hate to ask this question tonight. Please don't answer aloud because it would be self-incriminating, and there is a statute in our books concerning that one with the United States and not with God. But nonetheless, how many in this room worry or fret? Now we know tonight the Bible says fret not. We know that God does not want us to worry, but yet we do. And God is wanting us to understand we ought not to fear. Who is in control of all things? Who is our God? And so he comes here and he says, Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. And of course, our great enemy is none other than Satan himself. He says, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. He asks that their secret counsels, those things, if you please, behind closed doors, those things that take place in secret sessions. He says, hide me from these things. Keep me from that which is seeking to destroy me, from the insurrection of His workers. He says in verse number 3, who whet their tongue like a sword, bend their bows to shoot their arrows. Have you ever seen somebody, boy, they can just taste it. They begin to lick their chops, as though to speak, my dog, you can't get food within 15 feet of she, or he, she. Forget which kind it is. And she does not start salivating. She's got these built-in saliva drip pens on the side of her face. And whenever something gets in front of her very long, well, you see this slobber coming out. And sometimes she's just so excited, he's licking the chops. You know, that's what he's talking about. Who wet their tongue like a sword. They just can't wait to get at it. Bend their bows. They've already got it drawn back. The string has been pulled. And it says even bitter words. To sting, to afflict anguish, to destroy is their design. Insults, sarcasm, taunting defiance, nickname, all these things practiced among the Orientals as a kind of art. And that is the kind of thing that is seeking to come at us and destroy us. Verse 4, he says, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at Him. And it speaks of their secrecy, speaks of their suddenness that's in their arsenal. And like Satan himself, they don't want to be suspected for their evil surmisings and enterprisings. Sometimes he uses a wife's tongue to do his errand. At other times he gets behind the back of a husband or a friend or a servant. And he's not seen all the while that he's doing his work. Who would have thought the Apostle Peter? Who would have thought that this man who was probably more boisterous for the Lord than another, the Lord had to say, get thee behind me, Satan, because he was tempting our Lord. Or who would have suspected that Abraham, the father of the faith, should go into another land and say, this is my sister, putting his wife in harm's way. Secrecy and suddenness are part of it, as we find in verse 4. Verse number 5 says, they encourage each other. They seek others to work with them in their secrecy. They commune, it says, of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? Those who are seeking to destroy us, those who are in fellowship with Satan in these areas, here is a grim picture of what it is. They're the kind who look for dirt everywhere, search out iniquities. I think today as we find people running for public office, they get their little Snoop Dogs out and they begin to search if they can find one little thing against them. Perhaps that is good, perhaps it's not, but we find that that's often true in the lives of God's people as there are those who are seeking to destroy them. Craftiness of the foe. But I want us to notice something. This is the wonderful thing. God always protects His people. God protects His men. I remember I sat in the congregation one time and Dr. Malone, he was preaching and he was telling us about an incident when several years previous to the time that I was there, he said he had walked into the church and walked through the back of the auditorium, and he said down at the front of the auditorium, he says there was a group of people gathered and they were on their knees and they were praying. And he thought to himself, I don't remember calling a prayer meeting, but there they were praying. And he thought, if there's a prayer meeting going on in our church, I ought to join them. And he went down and he says, I knelt down by this woman. And he says, I was just in silence as I was hearing him pray. And the woman next to him began to pray. And she said, oh dear God, kill him. Get him out of the way, kill him. And he thought to himself, I wonder whom she's referring to. And God answered his thought immediately. She was asking God to kill him. But God took care of him. God always takes care of His men. I remember many years ago I read the story of Eon Paisley, who I believe is still alive yet this day. And he said one time, he said, "There are assassins all over my country seeking to destroy me. But," he said, "until God is finished with me, there will not be one assassin's bullet find its target. Because my God is my protector." What a wondrous God we have. Notice verse number 7. He begins to tell us a little bit how He does that. "But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded." I think of that and I got to take it from an arrow to a six shooter. I got to go back to the Old West. And Steve, in my mind, I'm seeing this guy. He's standing there helpless. And somebody at the other end, he's about to draw on him. And out of nowhere, the flash of the gun and the bullet sings forth, and the guy who drew is now dead on the pavement. And he looks around. And there, as according to this, is God Himself. God takes care of His people. He's our protector. Aren't you glad of that tonight? As He sustains us, as He is our security over and over again. And so He tells us here, God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. Verse 8, "So shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away." Do you remember from the Word of God in the book of Acts? There was a Herod. And he stood, as he stood there, he began to hear from the crowd that he's a God. And he accepted the worship. And immediately, the worms of God consumed his body and he died. God took him. And I believe those folks who were chanting his greatness are now suddenly drawn to the fact there is a God in heaven who will not stand for that kind of usurpation of power. All that see them shall flee away. Verse 9 says, "All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of His doing." His judgments will be clear to all. God wants to protect His who are standing in the position God placed them in. God is a wondrous, wondrous protector. Amen? And yet we fear so often. Yet we become worrisome. Yet we have this thing of anxiety inside, wondering what is going to take place. And we have a God who is there. He's on the scene. Amen? He is our protector. Notice the last verse. "The righteous shall be glad in the Lord, shall trust in Him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." And that's the verse that really draw me tonight as I begin to think about being thankful. So glad tonight, so grateful to a God who is there for my protection. He has watched over me all of these years. He has taken care of me day after day. What a marvelous God we have. Amen? He is there to take care of you and me. That is a wonderful thing. Amen? Consider that tonight as we think about the wonderful blessings of God. And I hope as we continue our thoughts about the thankfulness that ought to be in our hearts, that we might begin to think, I heard some wonderful spiritual thoughts too. The grace of God. The love of God. The miraculous forgiveness of God. We got a great God. And how we ought to be so thankful to Him. Amen? I'm glad. For all of these years, I got saved in 1966. I get mixed up. 44 years. Julia, God has protected me. I have seen it physically. I have seen it mentally. I have seen it spiritually. I've seen it emotionally.